UNFPA's State of the World Population Report for 2023 addresses the question of the 8 billion. Globally, many countries are having different reactions because some countries are facing a decline in fertility, whereas others are worried about their population. So we see this as an excellent opportunity to have that conversation and to reassure countries that there needs not be a knee-jerk reaction. We need to look at evidence and data to assure everyone that there's room for everyone, but we need to plan better.
And that's part of the solution.
That is part of the solution. Historically speaking, every time countries have tried to enforce a policy related to fertility, there has been a backlash. So the solution to our problem is always to look at how to make choices more simple for
And also
families, for women. The worst thing that we can do is to decide that women should have no control over their reproductive rights.
just on the global picture and during the COVID pandemic, decisions made during the COVID pandemic, were there funding decisions that affected women, funding allocations?
During COVID, we saw a severe restriction on services for women. Most of the countries, they shut down all essential, all non-essential services, forgetting that for perhaps family planning or access to HIV antiretroviral drugs or keeping birthing units, labor wards open, this was not top of mind. And as a result, we've seen a larger number of babies being born, particularly in, we see this in Papua New Guinea now. We also see the negative effects of COVID in terms of increased levels of family violence. And usually the family support centers that provided counseling and support to women who had been in those situations, they were shut down or repurposed to address COVID.
Do you think there could be an element of gender discrimination?
There is an element of gender discrimination in how we look at services and sometimes policies, and how it's so easy to forget women and what they need for to stay healthy and also in terms of a well-functioning society.
And moving on to where you are based presently in Papua New Guinea. Relating it back to the report, what is the situation in Papua New Guinea and the main challenges?
In Papua New Guinea, the challenge is that we haven't had a census for quite some time. So the total size of the population has been debated, sometimes heatedly. But it's clear that the population is above 9 million. And the concern for the government is the ability to provide services. Now, the call to action is most of the population is based in the rural areas. And that's where the services need to be. However, many of the health-related services are in urban centers. So there needs to be a rethinking about how reproductive health services, family planning, life-saving services can be taken into the most remote areas of Papua New Guinea. And that's not an easy thing to do.
And for those listening to you and having not been to Papua New Guinea, can you paint a picture or some examples of what happens to women and young women if they do not have access to the type of services you're describing, particularly in the remote areas?
Well, I can tell you, I just came back from a mission up in the Highlands last week. I went to a remote community, and there were 100 women waiting there for our mobile outreach, the mobile clinic that we'd set up for women. I think there was like 10, 20 who were pregnant, but one story particularly affected me because it was about a woman who had to give birth by herself in the middle of the night because the health facility had been shut down. And she was crying as she recounted the story in front of everyone, the first time she'd ever done it, because she said, I had to give birth to the baby. I had to cut the umbilical cord. I had to do everything. And I didn't know at one point whether I was going to live or die. And these are the stakes in rural Papua New Guinea. if you don't have access to these services, there is a high risk that you might die. And currently, the demographic health data tells us that 171 out of 100,000 women in Papua New Guinea die in as a cause of labor. But the actual figure is probably closer to 500, because the 171 was just based on the data from the health facilities. So for those listeners who have never been to Papua New Guinea, it's one of the most mountainous but also most exciting and very remote countries in the world. Sometimes it takes days to walk to one health facility, and the capital city, Port Moresby, is still not connected to the rest of the country. You either have to fly or go by boat. So there are many challenges in a country like this, which is why it's important for us to think about how do we make life easier for community health workers and for health service providers to access the women and those who need help the most. Another one of the key challenges that we have is that there are not enough health workers in Papua New Guinea. For example, if we look at midwives, we have less than 800, and for the size of this population, we need 5,000. And midwives are important because they are the ones that provide counseling to women and men too. But generally speaking, women here are more comfortable talking to another woman. The midwives provide expert advice on family planning, different commodities, and also are there to support women during labor. The couples counseling that they can do also is around fertility or infertility, as the case may be. So we're missing essential service providers who are experts in the area of sexual and reproductive health in a country that really needs specifically assistance to address this problem.